Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Just sit down, Kobe Shaq.
Amen. Welcome, everyone, to our Saturday-led teaching. We just thank God for this opportunity. We're wrapping up, you all know, God's will. We've been at it about 4 weeks or so, a little bit over, understanding God's will for our lives. We're just going to have a short lesson here and then just kind of do a review, overview of what we've talked about for the last month, pertaining to God's, knowing God's will. On today, and then we're going to talk about the 10 questions to ask ourselves when God's will isn't clear. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for one more time that you've allowed us to come boldly to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for this set time, oh God, to receive great and mighty your word, Father God, so that we can apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you allow every scripture and lesson today to take root and manifest in us. Oh Lord, to bring it back to remembrance, oh God, so they do not slip, oh God, that we may use it, oh God, all the days of our life. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for your will, oh God. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for saving us, oh God. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. Lord, we come to receive revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word so that we can apply it to our daily lives. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, and we love you. We come against every unteachable spirit on the line, every spirit of frustration, every spirit of confusion, every hindering spirit, every fighting spirit. We come against every spirit of fear and pride, self-righteousness, self-delusion, self-pity, self-criticalness right now. We come against every spirit outside the Holy Spirit that may be operating in us on this line right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to cease your works and die at the root, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and come out in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We decree and declare your goodness right now, God, in your presence. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. I hope everyone is doing well. Thank you all for joining us today for our led teachings. Amen. Don't know what you had to go through to get here, but I thank God that you are here. Amen. And that you saw fit to press on, press through whatever it is that you're going through in your life at this time, to be on here to receive, amen, from our Heavenly Father, that all will be blessed. Y'all, if you're just now tuning in, if you went back to our led teachings on God's will, which are archived here on the Preacher and the Pastor, to catch up, but if you have not, I'm just going to do a brief overview, you all, of understanding, you know, what does God's will mean. Just a little brief, like I said, before we wrap up here, we're closing out this lesson of understanding God's will and what does it mean. You all, the God's will, or the will of God, refers to the plans and purposes of God that spring from his perfect desires. So much of his will has already been revealed in the Bible. Some of God's will remains a mystery for at least two reasons, because scripture doesn't tell us everything and because history is still unfolding. You all, when Christians say to one another, pray that I'll know God's will, typically they're referring to a specific life situation in which they have more than one option. For example, they're pondering different choices as far as work, school, relationships, things for their children or for their life, wondering about a romantic relationship. And so as we see, God's will certainly involves locations or vocations, money, matrimony, but it's much more expansive than that. There are different views on God's will. When it comes to thinking about God and what his will for us means, people tend to fall at many different points along the spectrum depending on how they view God. So we talked about that, you all. Like I said, I'm just doing a little overview. As we wrap up, we'll wrap up with the 10 questions we should ask ourselves when God's will isn't clear. Amen. Also, we talked about what are some wrong assumptions about God's will as we had dived into this lesson. One of the wrong assumptions, you all, is that God's will is pretty much impossible for the average Christian to figure out. So this is one of the wrong assumptions. Under this assumption, God's will is accessible only to a few, like eccentric Bible scholars or spiritual mystics, or who somehow have figured out how to hack into the Lord's heavenly database. I want you to understand this is a wrong assumption. You know, God is pictured as a tough, tough as a nail professor who relishes the thought of flunking all those clueless believers enrolled in God's will 101. So understand, this is one of the wrong assumptions, you all, wrong assumptions. So sorry, that's wrong altogether. It's false, not true. God is not trying to turn the spiritual life, you all, into a big puzzle or a frustrating search. He wants us to know his will so that we can do it, so that we can do it. A wrong assumption, you all, is if something is really fun and enjoyable, it must not be God's will. That is a wrong assumption as well. God wants us to enjoy life. He has given us this life to be able to enjoy it. So sometimes we can view God as the cosmic party pooper, believing that he wants us people to be hyper serious, even somber, meaning that we always got to be serious. We can't have fun. We can't laugh. You all, that is a wrong assumption that many people have. We can take a grim face view of Christian life and conclude believers who are always smiling and enjoying life must be doing something wrong. There's no way God is pleased with that. Before long, just hearing the phrase, the will of God makes us wince. This is because we made it, you know, synonymous with unwanted or bad things. We may find ourselves thinking thoughts like, I'm not sure. I really want to see God's will. After all, I might find it, and I'm sure it involves a sort of unpleasantness. So understand, that is a wrong assumption. That is a wrong assumption, you all. So I want you to understand, God wants us to have a good life and enjoy to the fullness. The Bible says in Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So I want you to understand that God's plan for your life is that you be blessed, amen, that you enjoy life, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I want you all to understand that, hallelujah. I want you to understand, our Heavenly Father is 100% good all the time. We trust that his will is always good. And if we trusted that, we would do his will as Jesus did. Amen. The Bible declares that God is good. Amen. So why would he want us not to have good things? He loves to give good gifts to his children. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11, if you, being though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So I want you to understand, if you're having a good time, amen to the Lord, there's nothing wrong with us enjoying life. Amen. And number three, a wrong assumption, you all, if something is really hard and painful, it must not be God. That's another wrong assumption. The flaw in this thinking is the notion that God only wants his people doing pleasant, fun, easy, comfortable things. Nothing in the Bible suggests this is true, you all. Take the Old Testament prophet, for example. Nobody ever had a tougher job description to deliver blunt, unpopular truth to hard-hearted souls. God actually told the prophet Jeremiah up front, they will not listen to you. Sure enough, as Jeremiah and the other prophets faithfully carried out the will of God for their lives, they were dismissed, they were mocked, they were beaten, and sometimes martyred, you all. Understand, this walk is not always easy, and God has not promised us that this walk with Christ would be easy. Consider Jesus. Remember his baptism. Remember how God spoke audibly from heaven, expressing how much he loved Jesus and how pleased he was with him, according to Matthew 3:17. The very next verse, you all, says, the Spirit of God promptly led Jesus into the wilderness to face one of the hardest experiences in his life, you all. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights with no food. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights with no food. My Lord, my God. Amen. So I want you to understand, sometimes the very thing that God wants his people to do, wants his people doing is the hard. It is the hard and painful thing. We can't assume that just because we're in a rough patch, we're outside of the will of God. Amen. I want you all to understand that. Amen. Welcome everyone that's just coming in to our lit teachings today. We're just doing an overview of our lesson that we've been in for the past month of God's will, and we're wrapping it up today. Amen. So welcome. We thank God for you today being here with us. We're talking about the wrong assumptions of God's will. When people assume this is what God wants, or that's not what, you know, following Christ and God's will for their life. Number four is, if I'm not sure of God's will, I should just wait around and do nothing. People that feel like, well, if I don't know what God's will for my life, then I should just wait here and do nothing, which is not true, you all. The Bible references plenty of occasions in which God directed his servants through dramatic visions, dreams, and other supernatural promptings to go and do very specific things. But in many other instances, they didn't have a specific plan from above. What did they do then? They devised the best, wisest, most God-honoring plans they could come up with and then got busy, always giving God veto authority over their plans, saying, God, let thy will be done. Lord, what is it you have for me to do? Notice the language Apostle Paul used, you all, in the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 21. That's Acts chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, but as he left, he promised, I will come back. If it is God's will, then he set sail from Ephesus. If you all haven't got the app chosen, I sent it to my mom the other night. I'm telling you, it is a really good breakdown visually. It's a series. But it gives, if you have your Bible, you can find it through the Bible, the scripture. It is really detailed. It lets you actually take a look at the disciples and their life in Jesus, how they were ordinary people, how they went through, how sometimes they backslid, they got upset, they got angry. They got to the point sometimes where they were wavering in their faith and their walk. Even though they was walking with Jesus, the Messiah, it was times they still questioned, even when they saw miracles. But when every time something came up that was hard, they started to question. You know, is this worth it, or are we sure this is who it is? You know, even though they saw everything, and some were just after the miracle. So if I have your number, I'm going to send you all, those who I know, I'm going to send you all the app so you can download and see for yourself. I enjoyed it. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. So understanding the will of God, even though you don't have plans, asking God, you know, God's will, and, you know, for your life, not your will, but God's will. The Bible says in Romans 15 and 32, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. So James encouraged this same kind of active, trusting, open-handed approach for all believers. Amen. If it's the Lord's will. Hallelujah. Rather than a lifestyle of passive waiting, it seems a lifestyle of active humility is commended in Scripture. Amen? Amen. Again, if you're just now tuning in with us right now, we're wrapping up knowing God's will as we have been in this study for the last 4 weeks or so. And today we're wrapping up. We're just doing a brief overview, amen, of what we've already learned. One thing we did go over, we talked about the four P's of God's will: predetermined, preferred, permissive, and personal. These are the four P's of God's will: God's predetermined will, preferred will, permissive will, and personal will. So God's predetermined will, you are many passages of the scripture mention God sovereignly and illiterally deciding a foreordaining certain things in eternity past. We see this in words, phrases, and verses like Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Verse 29. So you all, careful reading of the Bible seems to show different nuances in the phrase of God's will. Various passages in Scripture describe what we might label as God's predetermined will, his preferred will, and his permissive will, and his personal will. So again, Romans 8 and 29, the Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Again, we're just doing an overview, you all, today, but these particular lessons are archived. If you go back on the preacher and the pastor on your computer or your phone, you can always click on these lessons to hear them in its entirety. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory to God. You all, theologians call this idea that things happen because God has predetermined that they will happen, the decree of God. So this is God's predetermined will, sometimes called his sovereign will or prevailing will. Here then is the old familiar saying, everything happens for a reason, with huge theological overtones, you all. Though all this is mysterious to ponder, it's crucial to remember that according to the Bible, God has an eternal plan to save sinful people, and nothing can alter or hinder this plan because it is rooted in God's all-powerful, unchanging character. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just thank God. To summarize, you all, Father means you all that nothing is random or accidental. Amen. That the universe is never out of control. The angels have never and will never hear God say, whoops, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, take that back. God is in and over, behind, and underneath all the details of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, we're just doing a brief overview. Hallelujah. Talk about God's preferred will briefly here. As mentioned earlier, all the common word for will, hallelujah, philema, it can mean desire, pleasure, or wish. To speak of God's will refers to God's heart desire to see certain things come to pass. This is often described as his preferred will. This explains why we see verses instructing believers to live in ways that will please God. Amen? Living in ways that will please God. It's why we see in other places clear references to things that the Lord does not want to see happen, like see wicked people die in their rebellion or see little ones perish. Amen. Hallelujah. There are also all things, all the things that God wants his people doing on a daily basis, and sometimes called God's permissive will. So this consists of commands for living that Jesus taught his disciples and told them to pass on to others, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. If it seems that I'm moving a little fast, you all, because we're doing a preview. The lessons have already been taught previously on previous Saturdays, and they are archived. If you're going, oh, I can't get all this, you're moving too fast, we're just doing an overview, so you can always go back and listen to those lessons that we've already went over the last month. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Amen. Don't reject God's will. The Bible also speaks grimly and sadly of those who openly spurn God and rebel against his will. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and 11, they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. That's dangerous, you all. I understand it's very dangerous to reject the will of God for your life. Amen. Let's talk about God's permissive will briefly here. Hallelujah. We could define God's permissive will as him sovereignly allowing difficult or even evil things to take place, but then subverting those things in surprising ways to bring about his predetermined will, which is his ultimate internal purposes. Think, for example, of the biblical story of Joseph. You all want to believe everyone knows the story of Joseph. God permitted Joseph's envious older brothers to sell him to a caravan of Midianites, traders, who were headed to Egypt. God allowed these grumbling traders to sell Joseph as a slave to a high-ranking Egyptian government official. God watched as the wife of this official falsely accused Joseph of attempted rape. God then permitted Joseph to languish in prison for an extended period of a crime that he didn't commit. But in time, God ultimately pulled Joseph from the depths of prison and used all the evil choices by others in Joseph's painful circumstances to accomplish his divine plan. The Lord used Joseph to help many thousands of people survive a 7-year famine. When it was all over, the non-bitter Joseph was reunited with his family and was able to say to his shocked brothers that God simply sent him beforehand. The Bible says in Genesis 45 and 8 and 50 and 20, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So you are similarly here, but of much greater significance. God permitted evil men to condemn and crucify his son Jesus in the book of Acts 2, 22 through 24. Yet in his wisdom and power, God willed the death of the innocent, Christ, to accomplish his eternal purpose of securing salvation for guilty sinners. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to understand that God's will leads to and involves suffering. Can God will lead to, involve suffering? The short, not so popular answer is yes. Some of us have been through some things and it's hurt and we wonder why, Lord, Lord, how long and why I got to suffer? And you all, from the beginning to the end, the Bible shows the people of God encountering trials and hardships as they sought to live according to God's revealed will. Neither Jewish believers nor later Gentile Christians, neither Old Testament prophets nor New Testament apostles were exempt from suffering. In fact, Christ himself told his followers in the book of Luke chapter 21:17, everyone will hate you because of me. My Lord, my God, I'm going to send y'all The Chosen. I know you all seen many movies of Jesus Christ, but I want you all to check that out and watch it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And like I said, it's a series, but enjoy and just kind of see all that they went through. Oh, my God. But we thank God today. We're going to wrap up here shortly, you all, as we're still doing our overview. I'm going to wrap up here with the 10 questions to ask yourself when God's will isn't clear. You all, God's personal will. God's personal will refers to God's very specific guidance of a plan for individuals. We see examples of this frequently in the book of Acts. The Bible says in Acts 8, verse 26 to 39, an angel of the Lord showed up and told Philip to go have a spiritual conversation with a confused Ethiopian official on a desert road. In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 19, Ananias had a vision in which the Lord told him to go meet the newly converted Saul. In the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter was directed by the Spirit in a vision to welcome Cornelius and his fellow Gentiles into God's household. We also see in the book of Acts 13, verse 1 through 4, the leaders of the church of Antioch were told by the Holy Spirit to set apart Saul and Barnabas for a special mission trip. So many believers read such biblical stories with light eyes and say, angelic visits, visions, the audible voice of God. I've never had any experience like that. For some reasons, I guess that means God no longer directs his people in personal specific ways. However, before you come to that conclusion, consider, now you may be saying this, I've never got an angelic visit. I haven't had visions. I haven't heard the audible voice of God. I've never had any experiences like that. However, before you come to that conclusion, consider some common ways God might be revealing his personal will. Let's suppose these two scenarios, you all. A friend calls and invites you somewhere, or you may be on a prayer call, a word goes forth, or you may sit in your spirit. Now, God will use people to speak. He will use certain situations to speak. He will have certain scriptures you read to speak to you. Amen. You may find yourself crying. You may say, you know what, I'm feeling God is telling me to do this. You know, God is speaking, and if you don't do it, you'll notice the voice will get louder and louder. Well, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know, it's just certain ways that God will do it. He will lead you to go here, and there'll be somebody right there waiting for you. And you don't understand, oh, Lord, God did tell me to come here this day at this time. Amen. So God speaks, and he's still speaking, amen, to his children. Amen. I'm going to get ready to wrap up here. And I'm just going to want to say this one. I want to go over this other part before we wrap up. How does God reveal his will? You all, as we've said, God doesn't provide his children a detailed set of blueprints for life. Nobody gets a comprehensive itinerary for the next 20 or 40 or 60 years. Instead, God gives believers his word, his spirit, his people, and his mission. With those resources, we are told to live by faith. You decree and declare, I walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. As mentioned you all earlier, as we got into this lesson, the Bible is not simply a rule book, and it's surely not a divine day planner. You can't flip it open and expect to find an explicit to-do list for your day. You all, I want you to understand, hallelujah. It's not going to tell you what to put on today, to do, you know, or put on your pants today. I know it seems like an odd instruction, but trust me on this. Amen. God will give you divine directions on what to do, where to go, and where to speak. But you have to be willing to listen. Sometimes we have to come apart. Come apart. Sometimes we have to come aside. I want to say come apart. It's not come apart, come aside. You all, on the contrary, the Bible is the wild but true story of God and his people. It's part scrapbook. It's verbal. Amen. It's verbal snapshots and story records and letters of what God is like, how he has acted in history and cared for his people. It's also a part guidebook. It has examples of good and bad actions, sermons, and commands, showing and telling modern-day readers the best and worst ways to live. Since the Bible is God's word, it shouldn't surprise us to find out it reveals God's will. Amen. Someone has suggested that about 90% of God's will for our lives is already spelled out in God's word, and the rest is just details. That's about right. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher or unemployed or a Fortune 500 CEO, if you live in Houston, Texas, or out the country, if you dream, it's about three. If you have a dream to do bigger, to do greater, to go further, to go deeper, God's will is already spelled out for us. Amen. Hallelujah. There are several scriptures, you all, that tells us, I give you one or two here in Deuteronomy 6 and 5, also Mark 12 and 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Amen. John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's just to give you all a few. Amen. So God bless, God keep. And that's, like I said, you all, that's just an overview. You can always go back. God, knowing God's spirit, knowing God's will isn't simple. A matter of reading the Bible and then trying our hardest to do what it says. That approach is no different than the ancient people of God under the old covenant continually trying to keep the law of Moses. No under the new covenant meditating you all by Christ. God doesn't just tell us how to live from afar. He comes to live in and through us. New life in Christ isn't a matter of us having to rely on our own strength. It's us getting to rely on God's indwelling spirit, which is God's spirit. Amen. Consider all the Holy Spirit does to help believers know and do the will of our Father in heaven. The Spirit convicts people of sin. The Spirit engineers spiritual life and growth. The Spirit intercedes, prays for the people of God. The Spirit enables believers to serve God. The Spirit indwells believers. The Spirit leads believers in the way they should go. The Spirit guides believers into truth and reveals what is yet to come. The Spirit strengthens the followers of Jesus to resist sinful urges. The Spirit makes it possible for believers to have access to God. The Spirit gives believers supernatural abilities to use in building others up. The Spirit empowers Christians to share the good news of Jesus. The Spirit prompts believers to carry out the specific will and purposes of God. The Spirit produces godly character qualities in believers. What a resource, eh? Amen. What a resource. Not only do we have the treasure chest of truth, that is the Word of God, but we also have the Spirit of God to help us understand what God has said in his word. It is as we humbly and diligently study the scriptures that we find ourselves being taught, rebuked, corrected, equipped, and guided by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit and the Word. Do you all remember the promise Jesus made to his followers the night before he was crucified? Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Amen? For yourself, you can find it in the book of John, chapter 16 and 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you all to know that Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up here with those 10 questions that I talked about here. Again, that was just an overview of what we already went through, and there are already archived lessons. All you go back to is the Preacher and the Pastor show. You go to Blog Talk Radio / the Preacher and the Pastor, and you click on Saturday lessons, and you can, you know, go back over those lessons. So as we wrap up here today, you all, we got a few minutes left. We're going to have open the lines up for anyone that has any questions or comments. We'll have that in a minute. 10 questions to ask yourself when God's will isn't clear. The Bible is explicit about many things, but some life situations are more gray than black and white because they're not discussed or covered specifically in Scripture. When facing decisions where God's word isn't specific or an overt, these 10 questions can be great diagnostic tools. One, how can I bring God the most glory here? Sometimes our particular option is more honoring to God than the others because, for example, it requires more trust. Our stepping away from temptation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, do it all for the glory of God. Number two question, am I just relying on my own understanding or am I trusting in the Lord? Often we have to act without having every fact or piece of data. We have to trust God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The third question is, am I primarily trying to please God or please people? Our ultimate audience is the Lord, not our friends, our parents, our mentors, our classmates, or neighbors. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 10, we make it our goal to please him, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. The fourth question is, in this a case of seems too good to be true? Some of us have that question, oh, wait a minute, this seems too good to be true. This can't be happening to me. This is just too good. We have to remember that our world is alluring and under the control of a destructive deceiver whose goal is to ruin our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. The fifth question here, does this choice move me toward or away from a holier life? Is the choice I make moving me from away from a holier life? Sometimes we're looking at work and things and relationships and getting into this and that. We'll call you all to become more and more like Jesus in our thoughts, our words, and deeds. Some choices facilitate that better than others. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 15, be holy in all you do. The sixth question here, will this decision damage the reputation of Christ or my own as one of his followers? We are to be above reproach, you all, in all that we do. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 and 3 says, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. Amen. The second question is, might this course of action start me down a path that would be dangerous to my soul? You all, it's important to be aware of the weaknesses of our flesh and the temptation that often trip us up. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 14, do not set foot on the path of the wicked. The eighth question is, would this choice cause a weaker believer to stumble, to violate his or her conscience and emulate my behavior? So love requires that I sometimes voluntarily limit my freedom for the sake of others. You all, 1 Corinthians 8, 9 says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Amen. The ninth question here, even if this decision isn't sinful per se, is it a wise course of action? Some choices are clearly wrong, you all, but even among the options that are acceptable, some are better or best. Followers of Jesus should pursue the way of wisdom. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. Amen. And not everything is constructive. And number 10, as we wrap up here, the 10th question is, would more mature believers endorse or encourage this? Since we are surrounded by older and wiser saints, it's foolish not to seek out their sage counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline. And accept discipline. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you all, we're wrapping up here today, our lesson, Knowing God's Will. At this time, if you have any questions, or even comments, we welcome those here today. All you have to do is press 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All you have to do is press 1. Anyone that has any questions or any comments, please do so. Don't be silent. No question is a dumb question. Nobody's judging anyone here. We're here to learn and receive. You may ask a question that someone else is afraid to ask or don't know how to form the question. Or you may give a comment that may help somebody today. Amen. All right, Minister Lion Green, God bless you. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, what I want to say, when times are difficult and you know God is taking you through a test, say yes to his will. Don't fight it. Say yes.
Amen. Yes, Lord, to your will. Amen. Thank you for that comment, Minister Lauren Green. I really appreciate that. Say yes to God's will. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else today? Press 1. We'd love to hear whatever question you have or any comment. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, then, everyone. Thank you all. We have wrapped up our lesson on God's will. We are looking forward to what God has for us next on our Saturday-led lessons. And so we're here every Saturday at 12 noon, Central Standard Time, and just trusting God for what God is doing in this season in our life. And, you know, saying yes for God's will. What else can we be doing? What else is greater than doing what God has called us to do? Amen. So I'm really looking forward to what God has for us next, like I stated earlier. I think a lot of people have a question on, you know, how did we get the Bible? How did we get the Bible? And we're going to talk about that this coming next Saturday. We're going to study, how did we get the Bible? You know, everybody wants to know, how did we get it? So tune in next Saturday here at 12 Central Standard Time. And we're going to talk about how the Bible come about, how did we get it. Amen. Let us pray as we leave this call today. We just thank you, Father God, that we leave this line, but never your presence, that you're with us, oh God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I ask that you touch every heart and every mind on today, oh God. Oh Lord, that peace come and be still, oh God. I ask, oh God, for a special blessing to all that is here on today, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that you are blessing, oh God. Let every need be met, Father God. Let there be no lack of your goodness operating through and about our lives. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you and we need you. We bless your holy name. We decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we're blessing our going out and coming in. Amen. Blessing the city and blessing the field. Because, Father God, you have blessed us. And we thank you, oh God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. God keep you. You all have a blessed day in the Lord. See you all on Sunday morning. God bless. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
one time,
ooh, I just wanna hear him say, well,
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in.